Let's take a moment of silence, opportunity to prepare for the study of the Word by making sure we're filled with the Spirit. Father, we thank you for another opportunity which you provided for us to gather together for the purpose of receiving the communication of your Word that we receive under the mentor ministry of the Holy Spirit. This information provides us with what we need to understand in order to understand, recognize what's going on here, why it's going on, and what you've done about it, and how we can take advantage of that provision by means of your grace and your unfailing love. And then glorify you as we deploy your word into our experience into the ministry of the Spirit. So as we study, we ask that by means of the Spirit, the information that is communicated would subsequently be made available for recall and application. And we ask this, thank you in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're in our verse-by-verse study of Romans, and we're in verse 24, and we'll read it through here. This is where God's response to the negative volition of the reversionist unbeliever occurs. Now, his response to a reversionist believer is very similar, except their destination's different. I mean, this is speaking specifically of unbelievers, but believers can get caught up in the same thing. The only thing that actually frees us from these viewpoints is the Word of God. Because you can be a believer and not have any doctrine. And it's the doctrine that is the item that frees you. That's why Jesus said, if you continue my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And he also said that happy is the person who listens to my Father's word and does it. So, believing in Jesus is a, like we've noted, an aorist tense. It's a point of time, punctiliar. It's irrevocable once it happens, but there hasn't been anything done to your brain, education-wise, other than that Jesus is real and he's God. That is important, of course, but it doesn't help you with your problems. So what we see in our world today is people's responses to problems without doctrine. And so believers and unbelievers both get involved with this. So that's the sequence here. So, I mean, remember, Israel was taken out, especially actually both of them. You think about the sources and causes of the fall. It was all related to their going into the heathen religions as believers. So, okay, that tells you everything you need to know. They're saved, they're going to heaven, but they leave off the truth, or they compromise with it. And especially with the southern kingdom, that was the case. The northern kingdom was actually no different, because the predicate for the fall of the northern kingdom was Ahab and Jezebel. I mean, basically, Ahab survived, and Elijah told him that his kid, he wasn't going to die, but his kid, but it turns out he did die. I mean, Jehu killed him. I've thought about that earlier, but Donald Trump is our modern Jehu. Go study him. And he wasn't perfect. He had his problems. He ended up actually leaving the threads in the pagan religions, Indian country, because he didn't destroy all of them. He destroyed some, but not all. And that was the basis for the fall of the nation. So had he eradicated all that, the nation would have lasted a little longer. But whatever, Jehu correlates to Trump in the United States. And we'll see what happens. It's really going to be a pivot point if he isn't elected. If they can steal the election again, it's really over. So, whatever. Therefore, this is a response in the New American Standard. God gave them over in the lust of their hearts to impurity so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. Now, so we're going to get into that whole sequence. And I was thinking this morning that really the consequences of God's response to us is a product of our volition. And it's automatic. If you have positive volition, the system you were in prospers and blesses us. If we're negative, the system that we're in curses and disciplines us. So the two divergent situations occur simply as a result of choices. And you see that. As we get into this, we'll see that happening, where it's just simple choices relating to God and the Word of God that causes that divergence. And we're in, of course, the divergence away from truth right now, given what's going on. Although, you know, there's God, in a sense, God doesn't push back. He does, you know, in a grace way. But the system actually pushes back, is what really happens. The system is created to do that. So we're reversionistic liberal heathens, negative volitions, confronted with God's justice department. That would be, of course, remember, Jesus is running the show here. We noted that negative volition in either God consciousness or gospel hearing is the cause of the problem that results in heathenism. So remember, when you're solving a problem, it's not good enough to just fix the effects. And that's a lot of what's going on right now with the people running the show in this country. They're trying to fix effects. They can't, but they can't fix effects. They have no authority to do that or power. So in essence, they're allowing the system to run completely amok while attempting to paper over or band-aid over the effects. So it's like trying to cure cancer with a band-aid. Ain't happening. So the only answer here is for you to change the people in the United States to change their thinking, specifically believers. Because remember, as goes the believer, so goes the client nation. It's unbelievers really aren't even in the game, although their negative volition contributes to the downfall. God's looking at believers because they're the ones that matter for his system. So it's really about believers in the end. Again, this topic is unbelievers. God's justice, therefore, must adjust to maladjustment to maladjustment to his justice, and always does with cursing. So that's the system. It creates it's an automatic consequence that's built in. If you're positive, it's going to redound to positivity. If you're negative, it's going to redound to negativity. And it's actually going to create momentum in both directions, depending on which two choices you make. The nominative singular of theos, which is the word God, and its definite article, the, emphasizes God's justice from God's essence. Now, that's something we noted last time. Remember, in the New American Standard, we have, therefore, God. Okay, that's theos, but they're leaving out the. And if we look over here in the New Nestle Allen, we see there's just a the right there, right in front of the God. There's our theos word. That's the word translated God. They're missing the. And we noted the consequences of that. And really, that is a monadic use of the object or the noun. And it creates a uniqueness and a quality. And it's pointing to Jesus, the unique one, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, of course, he's the one who communicates all this. So, it's referring to him. That's the point. You see the other passage, and you could say, well, that could be God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because it's not definitive. But over here, it's definitive. That's the point I say about reading in the Greek. These kinds of words are left out, and it's important to not leave them out. Because when you leave them out, you miss determinism. And if you don't leave them out, and you put them in like they're supposed to be, you get determinism. It's not ambiguous anymore. See, over here it could be three. Over here it's Jesus. You can substitute the word Jesus right in there and it'd be perfectly legitimate. Because of the way that's framed, the way the words are stated. Okay? So that's important. So Jesus is the judge. There's no question. I mean, remember from other scriptures that Jesus, the whole entire judgment of the world is given to Jesus. Why? Well, he became man. Alright? He's God and man in one person. So he's got complete cognizance of everything that's happening. He's the perfect one to judge. So that's why he's got that job. Let's see here. We noted a negative volition at either God consciousness or gospel hearing is the cause of the problem that results in heathenism. His justice, therefore, must adjust to maladjustment and always does so with cursing. That's maladjustment side. And this negative singular of theos, which with the definite article emphasizes God's justice from God's essence. He gave them over. That's the next phrase. He said, the God gave them over. So that comes from the aorist active indicative of the verb paradidomi, which we did look at a little bit last time. That means to hand over, to deliver, to entrust, to give over, to command, to commit. It also means to hand down or to pass on, to transmit or to reach or to allow and to permit again. So the point here is God is in the activity, the system that he's created, creates a situation where they're automatically, and we're going to know a passive voice here in a minute, going to receive the action of the negative volition. It's an axiomatic situation that occurs anytime any group of people goes negative, or even individuals. In fact, interestingly enough, believers individually receive the same concept when they're negative to the Word of God. And it's actually more deterministic with a believer because they're God's people. They're the ones being counted. So unbelievers, you've got a whole pile of them that can go negative, but they're going to reap the consequences, but it's not as drastic on, say, a client nation. Immediately. Now, eventually it's going to. But immediately it doesn't consequence so much. So unbelievers can really get bad as long as the believers stay reasonably stable. And examples of that would be the Roman Empire. Roman Empire had a ton of unbelievers, and very few relatively compared to the population of believers, and yet the nation survived, or the empire more or less survived for 1,000 years. So that's powerful. So that tells you the effect of the believers in a client nation. And the United States can be a similar situation. We've got a bunch of believers in this country. The question is, are they positive? And it would seem that some are, more than we might even think. So they're certainly establishment-oriented, many of them. In fact, many of these so-called illegals, well, they are illegal. They're coming here breaking the law. But whatever, I'm just saying, a lot of them are positive. They're finding out. That's why we might have a swing back here that's important enough to actually swing the nation. Or Jehu may be reappointed is the point. All these meanings can go with various combinations of other Greek words. And here we have a combination of delivering over or handing over to the judgment from God's justice. See, that's what God's doing. In essence, we're always, remember, we talk about that. We're always the target of God's justice. And it's either positive or negative. Well, it's always positive. Huh. Get that right, too. Because discipline and cursing is positive if you change your mind. See, God's agenda is never negative. His justice has to be righteous as it deals with us. And so we have to come under his jurisdiction negatively if we're out of line. But God's intent is never to destroy us. It may happen because that's where it goes if you let it run. But that really isn't. God desires all men to be saved and come to the epinosis, or that means spirit-taught knowledge of the truth. He's not desirous of anyone, Peter says, would not be saved. So, you look at what he did, and you see that's certainly true, because what did he do? He sacrificed his only begotten son. Well, that's about as big as it gets. That is as big as it gets. You can't get any bigger than that. That's the greatest sacrifice that ever occurred. So, yeah, he's certainly in the business of saving people, and doing everything that can be done to do that. The verb is used here for God's judgment of the unbeliever, reversionism. That's the source of evil in heathen liberalism. Remember, I've noted that, and the correlation I'm making here is that liberalism and heathenism are the same. It's just a question of where you're at. If you're in an ancient world where you've got sticks and stones as idols, then it's heathenism. But over here with our modern technology, it's liberalism. Because the baseline for liberalism is rejection of God. I mean, all this green stuff is liberal evil because the people have rejected God's word. I mean, in Colossians 1:17, Hebrews 1:3, they tell us that God maintains the universe. That would be Jesus, the God. All right, so he's familiar with every circumstance here. I have a feeling that he's letting the wheels come off this thing here a little bit just to give these people something to think about. That's why you're seeing the extremes that we're seeing. I mean, he controls the weather. The angels. Revelation tells us the angels control the weather. Well, who runs the show with that? That would be Jesus. And he can turn the whole thing over to the devil, and he can have a good time with it too. That's what he does sometimes. We see that with Job. He says, you can do anything you want to him, just don't kill him. The world, he had a whirlwind. Yeah, right, didn't he? He had invaders, he had a whirlwind, that's kind of what we have. And that was for his good. God was in the business, Job was a positive believer, and God was actually showing the devil that he was a positive believer. Because the devil was accusing Job of being a bad guy, because God had a hedge around it. And nothing could have been further from the truth. Job was receiving the consequences of positive listen to God. And you get a hedge when that happens. That's part of the process. So, but Satan was accusing God and Job of being malefactors. That's what he does. You see, and that's, of course, that's what his people do, too. The aorist tense is another constantive aorist, so it contemplates the action of the verb in its entirety. It takes the judgment of the heathen liberalism in any nation at any time and collects it all together into a bucket. Now, again, we noted how God does that. Remember, he's eternal. It says, in Peter, it says, a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. That's an interesting statement. It's more powerful than you might think. You ever hear of a wormhole? It's a theoretical thing that exists in the universe where two remote points are connected together by a single strand. I don't know if everybody's ever seen one. But it's theoretically possible, which means it's probably true. Well, that would explain the universe. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I think about crazy things. I don't think light, God has to make light travel at 186,000 miles a second. I think he can use wormholes. I think there's parallel universes that connect all the dots. So God can move one day and it's 1,000 years in our world. Think about that. He moves another day, it's another 1,000 years. That's technically possible with multiple dimensions. All these places are connected. Multiply. We're in a linear space. We live in linear time, the universe we live in has linear space and linear time. When I say linear, what do you mean? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, things are moving along in a monotonic, that means there's one thing occurring at a time in sequence. That's the way our world works. We move along in linear time and space. What happens if what that means is the, whatever unit you're using, the increment is 1. Well, what happens if the increment is 1 times 10 to the 50? That means every increment is 50 trillion. Or something, some huge 50, yeah, something like that. How about that? So you move 1 and God moves 50 trillion. That means you're barely moving. From his perspective, you're slower than an ant. Or what, take the slowest thing, a slug. Take the slowest thing you've ever seen move, and that's how, when he looks at you, that's how fast you're going. That's how it is. That's 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years. You ever think about the consequences of that concept? Pretty wild. That means you don't have to go fast to go light years. Follow me? You just hop to this other universe, and you're there. Boom. You didn't move. You're just there. Boom. And I believe that's probably how it works. Would not be surprised. It makes sense when you say that 1,000 years is a day. That's just no extra charge, but it's interesting to think about that. How things will work from that perspective. When we get over there, we're going to be able to do that. Now, the human body couldn't do it. Think about that. The only thing that works is light. Because there can't be any mass when you do this. Mass is what you weigh. All right? So if you got, and light has a lot of energy, but no, very little mass. Photons. I mean, minuscule. We have a lot of mass, but very little energy. It's the opposite. So if you were in that other space, it would blow you apart if you went there. You'd explode. Because the mass wouldn't make it. It would blow up. Okay, so it would be like if in Star Trek, they had these situations with their transporter where it would get messed up and people would come apart. Well, it's kind of like that. That's what would happen to the human body in that system. But a light body, which is what we think we're probably going to, what I think we're going to get, it's the only way you can get there. It's going to do that because you've got no mass. Anyways, no extra charge. The active voice tells us that God's of justice produces the action of judging the unbeliever reversionism. The indicative mood expresses the action from a viewpoint of existing reality. Okay, so God's looking at the reality of the situation of these people being in this negative volition status. We also have the accusative plural direct object of the verb paradidomi. That's and an intensive pronoun autos. That would be us, or the people. That can be translated literally. We could, therefore, because of the reversionism, God, that would be Jesus, deliver them over to judgment. So that's the consequence of the negative volition. It's interesting that their judgment is actually created by their reversionism. The judgment is self-induced. God's system automatically creates blessing and cursing based on one's choices. So that's how the system works. So you want to receive God's blessing, you apply doctrine, because that's compatible with his plan in the way it provides prosperity and advance and things we want to have. On the opposite side, go the other direction, you're going to automatically get the negative part. And Galatians describes this. Galatians 5, starting in, say, I don't know, 15, 16, all the way down to 23. It ends up with the fruit of the, it starts with the fruit of the sin nature. And it goes through hate and all that stuff, you know, three or four verses. And then it gets down to 5, 22 and 23 and says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and all that. And then such things, against such things there is no law. You see, that's a person who's living on the basis of the Word of God, and as a result, they're not contradicting any rule. Not legitimate rule, anyway. I mean, they may contradict the leftist rule, because they make rules about things that shouldn't be law. They do that all the time. But nonetheless, regarding God's law, which is the real law, it's not contradicting that. So you have, what you've done in that situation is you've become self-controlled. That's important. That's the thing the liberals don't do. They never get to self-control. Doesn't happen. They're out completely out. They're completely open loop all the time. Crazy. That's why you get what we get in this country, in places where the liberal politicians won't shut it down. And that's what we got today, so they won't shut it down. In the lust of their own hearts to impurity. That's the next phrase. In the lust of their own hearts to impurity. So this is their destination based on the choice they made. The prepositional phrase and plus the locative plural of epithymia, translated literally, is in the lusts. Therefore, lusts or desires is used to describe the lust patterns of the old sin nature. That would include power lust, approbation lust, material lust, sexual lust, wander lust, any kind of lust. So anytime you have a lust pattern, and people have a lot of different ones, which is why we're not supposed to judge people. Because we have a different lust pattern than somebody else. Now, we may have similar lust patterns in some cases. That's the concept of birds of a feather. Birds of a feather have similar lust patterns, so they get along up to a point. Contradictory lust patterns come head to head. So the kind of lust pattern you have will determine the choices you make if you go under the sin nature. And that's what it's saying here. And it can be, it ranges, I mean, any kind of thing can be a lust. Basically, a lust is anything that's done outside of self-control, which comes from God doctrine. See, a lot of these lusts are appropriate in the right measure. Sex is okay. Get married to a woman or a man, if you're whichever way you are. I mean, there's none of this homo crap. Well, that's where we're going with that, okay? The point is, sex is okay. God made sex in the garden. It was perfect. He said it's perfect. But what God made perfect, Satan came along and used for evil. Didn't he? There's nothing wrong with it, if you use it right. And all these things are in there. There's nothing wrong with materialism. As long as it's not your God. God is God. He gives us stuff. Nothing wrong with having stuff. All these things are okay. It's okay to travel. It's okay to want to have approval of people, as long as they're not number one on the shop. You know? It's when people get ahead of God, you have a problem. Okay? See? That's the thing. So all these things are what Satan uses for evil that God uses for good. And the difference between the two is simply the self-control that the individual with doctrine has. That's all. So remember, that's the thing about the lie. It's got an element of truth in it, enough to deceive you into thinking it's okay. And it's not okay, because it's a lie. But Satan does that. He parlays good into evil. You know, in Genesis 50:20, Joseph said to his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. But what God meant for good, Satan means for evil. And the Democrats are big at that, these liberals. You know, they view guns as bad. Well, guns aren't nothing. They're just a piece of iron sitting on the table getting dirty and rusty, depending on where it's at, and non-functional. It's a machine. Why don't they have the same vitriol against a car? They kill more people with cars than they do with guns. Oh, that would infect their, that would give them a bad, they don't like guns. See, they just don't want that, they don't want people to have that. Okay? But there's no difference. A car and a gun are the same. It's just it's a tool. Just like a hammer and a knife and whatever else you might have, a hoe and a rake, they all have purposes. You can use a hammer to kill people. You could use a rake to kill people. It'd be a little slower. It's doable. I mean, they used pitchforks back in the day. That's nothing but a fancy rake. So I'm just a tool. Everything's a tool. And it can be used for good or evil. It's not the thing. It's the use of it. The internet, same thing. The internet's an incredible tool for communication. We're putting this out on the internet right now if it's working. It works sometimes. But the problem is with the internet, I'm finding out with this whole thing, is that we're trusting in other people to actually do their job in the process. So between me getting it from here to that, where it's getting broadcasted, and with that broadcast getting out to other people, there's a lot of third parties. And if there's any one of them that doesn't do what they're supposed to do, you got a problem because the video breaks down. And that's what happens. Okay? And it's what's happening with our new video system. Pain in the butt. I don't want to deal with it. Because I'm relying on third-party people that don't... why do they give a rip? Who are you? I mean, you're not paying me any money. And we're not. We're just using it. All right? So that's why things are... I mean, we're working on it. We've made some adjustments, so maybe it will work better. But the point is that you know, we're using a lot of third-party people to get this stuff around. And they got to, their stuff has to, they, well, of course, they're supposed to, stuff's supposed to work. Didn't say it didn't. Isn't supposed to, but it doesn't. And I got map charts that show how it doesn't, that I can show people, this is where you're screwing up. And this is how you're screwing up, and of course, that screw-up is screwing up us. But why do they care? If it works for them, hey, it's theirs. That's the way I look at it. I don't know. We'll see. So then the ablative of source from cardia, that would be your heart, refers to part of the mentality of the soul where thinking is done and anything else that's done by way of mental action. So the cardia, or the heart, when you see that in the Bible, is talking about your the left side of your soul, which uses your brain to make decisions. So the software is in the soul, the doctrine is in the soul, and the brain is the hardware that it runs on. So people have brain damage, this stuff doesn't work right. Okay, but all this is in the soul, which is the spiritual content of the human that the leftists don't recognize. So this is where the mental attitude of the lust of the right lobe of the soul. So the point is, you got lust, you got a left and a right side, and data comes into the right side and moves into the left. And the data can be cosmic or spiritual, old sin nature or truth. And it comes through, and then the mind filters it a little bit, and then it shoves it into the heart, and the heart makes a decision about it. And once you have old sin nature control of the soul, the mind starts getting stuck because it's got garbage in there. I mean, if you got a machine that's moving, well, let's just think about your car. You take your car, you run gas in it, it works great. Well, try running water in this car. Well, there are no kinds we drive today, most of the time. I don't know if anybody has a hydrogen car these days or not. There might be some. They can use water. All right? They can't use gas. It would blow it up. But the point here is the internal combustion engine that uses petroleum products or something like that to create energy, or to extract energy is what it's doing, requires certain fuel. You put water in there, it will break it. It won't work. It'll mess it up, and it won't. In fact, it may be very hard to fix, because it gets in the wrong places and messes stuff up. And you got to replace a whole lot of pieces that makes it almost worth trashing the car. That's why a car gets flooded. They generally get sent to the junkyard, because all that water that was in there in places where it shouldn't go, and eventually it's going to cause an effect later and make the car useless. Then, so we have this, that refers to the part of the mentality of the soul where thinking is done and anything else that's done by way of mental action in the lust of the right love of the soul. This is where a vacuum in the right lobe of the soul from the restriction of doctrine and word of truth, inevitably evil from the sin nature, is sucked in from the left lobe into the right lobe. So the problem is we've got this bad information coming in. That would be the devil's information. I mean, God told Adam and the woman in the garden, don't eat of that tree over there. It's there. Don't eat it. You can touch it. You can do whatever you want with it. Play football with it. You can do whatever you want. I don't care. Don't eat it. Well, what's the devil come along? Oh, has God lied to you lately and said that you shouldn't eat of that tree? He's just telling you that if you eat that, you're going to become wise as he is. Oh, and that, of course, that cut the woman's attention. She wanted to be wise. And pretty soon she sucked into that fruit and was spiritually dead. It wasn't from eating. It was from the choice to do it. The physical act of eating the food didn't change her body. But the spiritual act of choosing to actually grab that food and put it in your mouth and chomp on it did. Okay? It was a spiritual problem. So she instantly died spiritually. And then Adam shows up in a few hours or whatever, and she gives it to him, and he decides, he knew better. He ate it anyway. Because he chose to hang out with her rather than with God. But God had it all figured out. It was his plan. It's on purpose. But there's a vacuum that was sucked in there. The vacuum in her was related to that fruit over yonder that she thought was going to make her wise. And Satan lied. And she bought that crap. Well, we do that all the time. So there's a vacuum in the soul from the rejection of God's word of truth will inevitably cause evil from the sin nature to be sucked in from the left lobe into the right lobe. So you got this whole process. And again, that's why it's called a heart. Your heart pumps, I don't know which top and bottom, but blood comes in one side and goes out the other. And on the vacuum side, you got veins. And on the pressure side, you got arteries. All right? That's how it works. It's nothing but a pump. We use pumps for all kinds of stuff. So it just moves stuff along. In this case, your brain is doing it. And it's the data, this information is moving along, it's data, information. And the data can be corrupted, and that corrupted data creates scar tissue and blackout kind of stuff. Because it affects the ability to think properly. Because you're not thinking, that's why we've got global warming people. You know, that's why they think it. Because they don't know the doctrine that Jesus Christ controls history. Or if they do know it, they don't believe it. So, if Jesus Christ is controlling history, why do you care? Yeah. He's got it covered. If he wants it warm here and cold there, who are we? Not our job. Now, we might want to build some machines to make it easier to deal with. But it's his business. And I think he's just shanking these people's change for the fun of it. That's what I've been doing. Evil in the left lobe is described as the blackout of the soul. And when the right lobe is empty, that evil is sucked in. Remember, when you create a pump, you got a vacuum on one side and pressure on the other. As long as that vacuum is filled, the thing keeps moving properly. But if it's not, okay, what's not there? Doctrine. That's the problem. So now you're pumping and you're getting nothing. Okay, the vacuum just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. It'll eventually blow up. Or the seals will break down, one or the other. Then in your soul, it just creates this situation called blackout and scar tissue and stuff. Because it's information. It's not physical. It's not water or gas or whatever you're moving around. But it's the same principle. So, inevitably, evil from the sin nature is sucked in from the left lobe into the right lobe. Evil in the left lobe is described as blackout of the soul, and when it's in the right lobe, it's empty, the evil is sucked that causes scar tissue in the soul. So, in other words, it breaks down. Scar tissue is the word mateotes. Well, that's the vacuum word. Vacuum is mateotes. Scar tissue, I don't remember what that one is. But there's a Greek word for that, and it actually means to be like hardened. The word in the Old Testament is used for that. The Israelites had hard hearts. Well, people with negative volition end up with what's called hard hearts because the information they're pumping through their heart is creating damage. And so the word scar is a great word because if you work with your hands, I'm kind of a slug these days, so I don't so much. But the point is, if you play a guitar, your ends of your fingers get big calluses on them. Well, that's scar tissue. If you do anything, if you play baseball in your hands, you'll get, especially if you're a pitcher, you're throwing the ball. Every time that ball comes off your fingers, you got to twist it a certain way to get it to go where it's supposed to go out there. And that creates scar tissue in your hands. You ever notice these pitchers are working on their hands all the time because they're dealing with that. And you get a big callus on the wrong spot of your hand, then you can't spin the ball right. You can't feel it. So that's what happens. You get an insensitivity in your heart because you've got garbage going through it and it just messes it up and eventually it shuts it down. That's what happens ultimately. And I guess in a literal heart with pumping blood, same things happen. People have heart attacks from that. Sclerosis, right? That's hardness, right? That's a word for that. In fact, that is the word. Sclerosis. Why do people get sclerosis? Well, they're eating the wrong stuff. They may have a genetic trended toward that also. You don't know. There's a lot of components to it. But the point is that if you're eating lots of the wrong stuff, allegedly, this is what they say anyway. Whether they're telling the truth, I don't know. This is their guess at the present time. Don't believe them half the time. If you're eating the wrong things, you'll get what they call good or bad cholesterol, I guess. And that eventually makes your arteries and your veins get hard. Well, that runs the pressure up on the system because if things don't come in, expand like they're supposed to. They're hard. Well, that's what we're talking about. Only this is doctrine, or lack of it. Evil stuff creates hardness. Just like in your bloodstream or your veins, if you eat the wrong stuff, eventually it jams up and you get hard veins or arteries. And so eventually your heart blows up because the pressure is too high. That's called a heart attack. You get to die, maybe, if they don't catch you in time. So the evil is sucked into the cause of scar tissue in the soul that is called hardness of heart. As it comes into the right lobe, it begins to take over various functions, and as the evil takes over, there's no vocabulary, no integrity, no doctrinal principles, so doctrinal standards are destroyed. So the point is, this thing starts pumping garbage. Well, what's it going to do? Well, it's going to go crazy. And that's what we got. We got people, liberals are going crazy. They don't have no standard of reference for truth. So there's no conscience to function as a police department in the soul. So they become irrational. See, the point here is when you operate on doctrine, you have self-control. I mean, that's what our founders said. I think it was Abe Lincoln. It was Ben Franklin that said, we have a republic if we can keep it. Well, we can't keep it. We have a democracy now, allegedly. Well, we don't, technically. I mean, on paper, we got a representative republic. But it's being run like a democracy. Well, that's a serious problem. Because you got a bunch of morons voting. Okay, that's the problem. Now, why are they morons? They don't have any doctrine. They're running whoop and loop here. Okay, so they're voting the wrong people in, and they're voting their people in, which is great. There's no restraint. We wonder why we got inflation? No restraint. There's your answer right there. On that paragraph tells us the answer to why we got inflation going up. That's why your gas is $5 a gallon plus or minus. All right? That's why food is going to be so expensive that people aren't going to be able to afford it. There are going to be thousands and millions of people dying. Not maybe in the United States, but overseas, where they don't have as much money. Over here, you're going to spend more and more and more and more of your money for food, necessities. You ain't seen nothing with your electric bill yet. Ooh, it hasn't rippled through. They're trying to hold that down. But 60% of your electric bill uses fossil fuels. You ain't going to hold it down too long or the power is going to go out. Well, that's probably what's going to happen. That's where it's going. I'm just telling you. It's inevitable because there's no self-control. See, it's lack of self-control that creates the problem. And the reason you have a lack of self-control is you've got no doctrine. And it's worse than that because you've got Satan's viewpoint in there, which makes it worse. So it's worse than that. It's actually contradictory. It's oppositional. It's hateful against truth. See, Satan hates truth. It's not simply passive against it. It's active against it. So that's where we're at. The people running the show in this country are purposefully trying to destroy it. Remember that. It's not accidental. None of this is accidental. Happens on purpose. They did it all on purpose because they're trying to take the country down. They want to create their new world order. And that's what the guy pulling the strings wants to do too, the Satan guy. He wants the new world order, which is an international system. Standards are replaced by lusts from the old sin nature. So we have the lusts of their hearts. So that's our next phrase. The lust of their hearts. The possessive genitive plural of the intensive pronoun outhouse is used as a possessive pronoun. That means that's the word there. That's the translator. Showing that this category of people possesses a heart with potential, but the potential is destroyed by their rejection of God. See, what they've done is they've run water in their gas-powered car. That's the analogy. Water equals sin nature control, garbage. Okay? Instead of pumping gas into their tank or whatever you needed, diesel oil, diesel fuel, whatever, don't matter. In a hydrogen fuel car, it is water. Incidentally. But we're not running hydrogen fuel cars these days. Yeah, some people are. In space, they use them. But anyways, in a regular car, combustion engine, it's gasoline these days. In the United States. Overseas, it's diesel. There's also a preposition, ice here, plus the accusative of akantharsia. That means to impurity, refuse, immorality, or viciousness. So this is what rejection of truth causes. We see this in Ephesians 5. Galatians 5, I should say. 16, 17, 18. It is used for the ceremonial as well as moral impurity, and it means moral uncleanness. See, remember, what did John Adams say? This constitution that we put together here only works for a moral, religious people. Well, what's under assault? See, the country can't run with these people running the show. And they know it. Wheels are going to come off. It's just the reason how they're going to do that is they're going to shut everything down. They're well on their way to getting that done. 4 more years and it's over. So, I mean, unless some miracle happens, and I don't think that will happen. It's just where we're at. And the people running the show are just, the deep staters are really evil. They think they're going to benefit from this. Wait till they find out. Anyways, it implies that also a sexual profligacy and an uncleanness of the soul. So when we talk about spiritual things, the Bible a lot of times uses sexual connotations. Because the relationship between men and women, that's more what they focus on, not the other kind, have to do, and that those things all are involved with sex. And our relationship with God is similar in the sense of our thinking. And so God refers to Israel specifically, and any believer actually, by extension, as a whore. When they go after other religions. You know, because they're basically leaving off from the truth that would be God and going to Satan, who's the guy they're hanging out with now, the new guy. So that's what happens, and that's so it uses these connotations when they're describing. And I mean, sex isn't necessarily involved directly, but it's the spiritual concept. It has a sexual correlation, and this passage is the same thing. There's also a connotation of impurity in the sense of content of a tomb, along with the decomposition of the corpse that's in the tomb. So that's what this is resulting in. We're going to hang out in a tomb with a dead body. You see, that's what goes on when we have this decline of thinking. Paul uses the word in a broader sense that was used in Judaism, where it was used to describe absolute alienation from God on the part of the unbeliever reversionist and the heathen liberal, and this is called depravity. So that's where we end up, is in depravity. When we reject doctrine, we end up in doctrine. Now, the reason it's called depravity. Now, the reason it's called reversionism is because they had the truth. See, we started this whole thing back in the first verse or two, that God made himself clear to these people. You know, the predicate is that God had revealed himself and they were responsible to respond. And they didn't. Okay, at least not properly. They rejected him. So, as a result, they're in depravity. So anybody who rejects truth ultimately is depraved. Because the truth is the only thing that gives you any sanity. See, that's the problem. And when we look at what's going on in our country, in the world for that matter, not just our country. Our country is actually, in some senses, better off than the rest of the world. You see that in the dollar. I mean, the dollar should be debunked and debased with what they've done to it. But it's better than everybody else. Can you believe that? They're in a worse situation than we are. Hard to believe, but it's true. And that's why we're in a position where we can actually be rescued here by the right person. If our Jehu shows up, it can happen. We need someone to do that, though. We translate this to an unclean status. So give impurity, hearts to impurity. That's what it's done here. That we could say to uncleanness. Or to an immoral status. It's not necessarily immoral in the sense of violating standards of society, but it's total alienation from God, from refusing to adjust to God's justice. That is, to dishonor is the passive infinitive of the verb altissimo. So the point here, remember, just because someone is disoriented to God doesn't mean they're immoral. Okay? Because you can have standards in a country that are kind of okay. It always fails, though. I mean, eventually, if it's not hooked in, we saw that was that guy's name. I forget his name. That I say, if something that's not locked into the truth will automatically deviate to the lie. It's called entropy, spiritual entropy. So if that's what happens with our politicians, they go down to they get elected here, new guys, as though they're going to be standard establishment kind of people. They get down to D.C. and they get decoupled from their people. They see all this money they can make. And they get decoupled from the standards. Now, a few people get down there, and they don't get compromised by that. I mean, there might be a handful. Of the 430 people in the Congress, there's not more than a half dozen that aren't compromised. Because they get so disconnected from the reality that they've got voted on. And then they end up having enough money to keep getting elected because of their position. And that's what we have. That's the problem. You know, the way it works is just wrong. We shouldn't have career politicians. So, I mean, but we're responsible for that. The people that vote keep putting them down there. So it's ultimately all the responsibility goes back to the voters. So that's why we got these problems. So the point here is lack of disorienting to truth. And you get decoupled from truth and you end up a liberal, basically. Everybody does. I mean, everybody would do that. That's the natural tendency. You got to keep learning doctrine faster than you're forgetting it. You got to keep on the track. The Word of God has to keep correcting us, bringing us back. And if you don't do that, you're going to be a liberal, by definition. Because the way the system is set up, the entropy creates that situation automatically. That is how God built the system that Satan's in. It's probably one of the reasons why he took the deal. You know, he wasn't expecting Jesus, so. This infinitive introduces a result clause, and we have ice plus toe plus the infinitive. When God's system starts to judge the reversionism of unbeliever, he judges them by permitting them to enter into dishonor. In other words, he lets them go where they're going. You'd think, oh, he's going to stop them. No. That's what liberals do. That's why they make all these laws. God doesn't. The system is self-correcting. Okay? So God is completely content with just letting them go, which is what he does. Now, there are some restraints along the way as they break through that would tend to bring them back if they got a brain, but they're losing it rapidly. So pretty soon they're completely disconnected from truth and they have no way back, apart from the Holy Spirit and positive listening to doctrine, and sometimes that won't work either. Not everybody's going to be saved, see. Why aren't they going to be saved? They won't believe in Jesus. That's why. Now, why won't they do that? Because they have been programmed with a lie that supersedes anything they want, anything else that comes in. So they reject the truth without even evaluating it. There are causes and effects in history. There are causes and effects in science. There are causes and effects in the function of God's justice. So that's the point here, is everything has causes and effects. And not, God's justice is no different. Here the cause is divine justice, and the effect is to dishonor, to insult, to treat shamefully. So that's the downside of God's justice. Remember, cursing and blessing. Cursing, I set before you today, he did this, he said this to Israel. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Well, what was the difference? It was simply, how did they orient to the Word of God? It's the same with us, individually and for the nation collectively. No different. In the passive voice, so here we go, passive voice, remember? That's one of our key words here. It changes the direction of the action. Remember? It's important to understand that. Passive voice, it means to become degraded, then their bodies might become degraded. It's better translation than to dishonor their own bodies, because it recognizes the passive voice that describes their receiving the consequences of their poor choices. See, the other way you look at it, it's written in the active voice. That their bodies would be distorted among them. So it shows as though they're going to do it. Well, they're not. They don't think they're going to get that. But it's going to happen because God's system programmed it that way. And that's how the passive voice reads. See, people wouldn't do this stuff if they knew they were going to get the consequences they're going to get. Well, I wouldn't think they would anyway. I mean, it makes no sense. That's completely nuts. And I don't think they are. I think people really think that this is okay. And the freedom they have of, the liberty they have from the status quo of the client nation and the Word of God and divine establishment gives them the option to do this without any serious repercussions right away. So they think they're getting away with something, but they're actually not, because God's system has automatically programmed to destroy them if they don't straighten up. See, and that's what we're getting. So it recognizes the passive voice comes in from God's system. In the infinitive, we have a historical present tense. This occurs historically whenever the conditions are right. The passive voice, the bodies of those involved in the national entity, receive the action of the verb. And the infinitive is the infinitive of actual result. So that's what happens. So in their bodies is translated from the accusative plural of reference, soma. That's the Greek word for body. We're probably familiar with that. And one of the great protections of divine establishment is the protection of your body. If you think about that, freedom revolves around individual freedom, from God's perspective. Now, Satan messes that whole thing up. And he comes up with things like socialism and communism, where everybody is supposed to be interacting and it takes a village kind of stuff. Well, no, it doesn't take no village. It takes one person making good decisions from a position of the Word of God. That's it. And that's where it starts. So it's not just take the village garbage. That's socialism. That's communism. Your body is the house for your soul. So that's where you live in this. That's where you always live. You're going to have a body somewhere. Like I say, I make the case that your body's going to be switched over to a form of light energy. And that's consistent with the way things work when you see Jesus running around. anytime your body is protected, your soul is also protected. So God has a dog in this hunt. Your body is, and that's why murder is in the top seven sins. Because if you kill someone, their soul is no longer, well, they're out of here. So they can no longer be a witness. So God is protecting us physically, because to keep us here, He's got to keep us. For us to be able to testimony for Him, we got to stay here. So this is where your wall of fire comes in. And what's a big component of that wall of fire? Word of God. See, as long as you've got doctrine in your soul, which is really what He cares about, because the body is a means to an end. The soul is an end in itself, actually, when you get right down to it. Because the soul is going to eternity with God forever, or like a fire, depending which way it's going, forever. And the way it gets, one way or the other, is what's in it. The choices you made with doctrine. That's the only difference between lake of fire and heaven with God forever. Okay? It's one person said no to Jesus and the other said yes. And when it comes to rewards for eternity, one person said yes to doctrine and the other person said no. There's choices all over the place. But so the body protects the soul. And it is for this purpose that we have the true concept of freedom. See, freedom protects the body in the incarnation. That's why the mission of the nation is to protect the law, the freedom, the freedom code. Because that's what creates freedom and privacy and the ability for us to function in the will of God if we choose to. Without that, you've got nothing. I mean, God's agenda is not advanced in places where freedom doesn't exist. Because you can't say yes to Jesus. The information is not available. The true concept of freedom protects your body and soul from the encroachment from others. In other words, that's why you have the laws of divine establishment. What? Freedom, marriage, family, national. Those are a concentric circle of increasing power and dropping autonomy as you roll out. But the core of that thing is volition. And volition can destroy all those others. Negative volition can destroy the family. Negative volition can destroy the marriage. Negative volition can destroy the nation. And that's what we got. If you look at what's going on in our country, the marriage, well, people are being destroyed. We're going to start there, because that's where it starts. Bad choices limit future options. That's your freedom. And then you have that negative volition affects the marriage if you are married. And then that negative volition affects the family if you have one. I mean, if you're married, you have one. You just don't have kids yet, maybe. If you have kids, they're destroyed when these families break up. And then the nation is also destroyed. I mean, it's a longer cycle, but it's still done. It also protects things related to your body, including your private property. This is why private property is sacred. The socialists and communists say, no, I own it. The government owns your property. Well, no, God says it's yours because you've got to have freedom. And your privacy. So it goes on to say, that their bodies may be degraded has to do with the destruction of freedom. These people become enslaved to the deviant, destructive lust patterns of their old sin nature. See, enslavement to the old sin nature being controlled by that lust pattern is being a slave. Now, they don't recognize it. They think they have freedom. And they do, to a certain point. They have liberty. And liberty is giving them the option to do these negative things for a while. Until the consequences of that come back on them. Which is inevitable. Unless they change their attitude. I mean, repentance is the issue. Change your mind about that. What you're doing. So they think they're free because liberty from divine establishment permits their perversion. But they are really slaves because the freedom requires discernment and self-control. And they have neither. So that's the problem. And that's what we have in our country right now. The heathens that have said no to Jesus and the Word of God, and to God Himself, for that matter, are off completely unhinged in their negative volition. But they're let do it. The left, well, they have the freedom to do that from establishment. That's why Peter says, I quote this verse pretty often, in principle, I don't know exactly what it is, in 2 Peter, but it says, do not use your freedom to destroy liberty. It says it's a cloak for evil. But that's what's going on. They're destroying liberty. Well, what is liberty? Liberty is the freedom you get from establishment principles in the nation. And what are they doing? The leftists, the liberals down there in D.C. and other blue state areas that have you know, governments like this one, they're constantly involved with destroying liberty. That's all they do. That's how they think they're going to control you. They don't know it's not going to work. Well, they think it, well, they ought to know, but they don't. They don't want to know, I guess. I don't know what the story is there on their brains, but it doesn't ever work. It can't. So they're destroying, that's what they're being empowered by, though. These people, these heathenists, these liberals, think they can maintain their freedom while voting for people who are destroying it. But for now, they're allowed to be perverted criminals. Okay, because they kind of get along for a while. We'll see. So, we'll pick up here next time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you provide for us to study your word and for the blessing it is to understand this so that we can see why what's going on out there is happening. And not be surprised by it because we know you've got it all covered. And that you actually have a plan that actually transcends that whole thing in the end. And it's called the exit resurrection. Now, we got a little bit of time before that happens. We don't know how long. But we know that that's the final out. And it may happen in this generation or the next, who knows. But we do know that you got it covered. And the issue is doctrine. The Word of God, as we deploy it in our own thinking, and that stands firm in opposition to all of this. So it's up to each of us individually to do that, and help us to do that. And we thank you now for this in Jesus' name. Amen.